to Twin Cities Theater Chat. This podcast is created by members of the Twin Cities Theater Bloggers to share our love of theater, promote theater going, and support our theater community. On today's episode, Julie Jackson of Minnesota Theater Love and Jill Schaefer of Cherry and Spoon are digging into the work of Pangea World Theater and their upcoming show, Hecuba. They're chatting with Adlin Carreras, General Manager at Pangea, and Suzanne Victoria Cross, Pangea's Production Manager, who is also playing the title role in Hecuba. Hecuba by Marina Carr will be playing at the Southern Theater from April 5th through the 21st. Get your tickets and find out more about Pangea's work at their website. Enjoy!
Hello, welcome Suzanne and Adlin. We're so excited to have you here to talk about Pangea with us.
We're very excited to be here.
Yeah, welcome. We've known about Pangea for some time, but I feel like it's kind of under the radar for some people. So can you tell us a little bit of background on the theater?
Sure. That's a large question.
So yeah.
I'll start, if that's okay. My name is Adlin Carreras, and I'm the general manager at Pangea World Theater. I have been at Pangea for now, it's going to be 14 years in September. No, 10 years. But I've worked with them since 2010. So it's been a long time. Pangea, though, has been around for 27 years. Mm-hmm. It started out of the need of presenting stories of people that look like Suzanne and I, people that are not really represented in other theaters or not really presented in other theaters. It was started by a group of people, significantly Deepankar Mukherjee, who is our artistic director, and Meena Natarajan, are also our artistic director and executive director. And again, it kind of came out of that need of wanting to put people's stories that are not usually heard, people's stories that are not centering them so that people get to know us and get to know more about our lives and more about the worlds that we live in. It started out of that need. Deepankar was an artistic associate or director at the Guthrie and having a hard time casting his plays the way that he wanted to be casted. And so he did Life Fugaz. He went around the wall, he went under the wall, and he went towards the way that he wanted to go and create this opportunity for people. Suzanne, I want to hear you also say a little bit about that, because I love the way you speak about it, too.
Oh, wonderful. No, that was beautiful. My name is Suzanne Victoria Cross, she, her, hers. I am the production manager at Pangea World Theater. I also always introduce myself as the caregiver for my mother who has Alzheimer's, which is such a huge part of my life and also a huge reason why I know that Pangea World Theater is my home, that we as also artists on staff, every staff member is also an artist, which is a really important pillar of Pangea. And that we're also holistic, complete human beings who are parents, caregivers, people working in the community. And I am a Black woman. I am a caregiver. I am an artist. I am a teacher. All those things are my strengths at Pangea. And my mother is a part of Pangea. Being able to be a production manager and also being able to support all the, which you'll hear about, the many events and many workshops and many presentations that we hold, while also being a full-time caregiver for somebody who is homebound. And that those things are always held in tandem and in this beautiful way that I've never felt that she is a burden or she is something that I have to navigate. She is uplifted and loved because we also at Pangea love and uplift our ancestors and our elders in the space. They're always with us. So she is just held and loved as an elder in our space. And so that is just a huge, just different foundation of Pangea. When I was navigating to stage manage and production manage in other theaters, because it is a very demanding job, but that was always something that either I had to hide or navigate or figure out. And usually before the question of how is the production, the question is, how is your mom? And that is just something incredible about Pangea. And like I said, again, one thing to know about Pangea that I feel is just so relevant now is how Pangea held us, especially with the start of the pandemic and the murder of George Floyd and the uprising. We didn't stop. The staff was not, nobody was furloughed. Actually, I became a full-time employee at that time after being just a contract employee or a contract worker. We were supported to do our own art, to respond, to heal, to love during that time, and to hold each other. Which I just think encompasses like why Mina and DePunker wanted to create this theater to be different and to do something else. And then when the world called for us to be different and do something else, they did.
Yeah, and you know, all the work that we do, everything that we do flows from our mission statement. And our mission statement, I'll read it because I have it right in front of me here. It says, Pangea World Theater strives to build a just world by creating multidisciplinary theater that embodies decolonizing practices of solidarity, sustainability, and equity. So everything that we do flows from that particular mission statement that has, it was changed, I want to say 3 years ago, but it has stayed the same, where we are a professional theater that does community work, and all our work flows from that mission statement. And we can talk a little bit about, you know, what those mean, the practices of solidarity and sustainability and equity, because that's kind of what the work is. All of our work kind of surrounds that. You know, if we talk about a little bit about solidarity and equity and sustainability, it kind of flows from where we work in Circle. So a big word, pluriversality. I can't even say it, but it means we are a circle of many realities. And the way that Pangea is, it's a theater that embodies the world. And the world is quite large. The world is not just Western and white. The world has many, many different cultures, many, many different ways of being, many, many ways of thinking. And that is really celebrated and valued in Pangea. The way that Suzanne was talking about, you know, we welcome the whole person, where we, her mother and her status and who she is. I feel that way too. And that's why I also call Pangea home, because I feel seen. I'm from Puerto Rico. I'm originally from Puerto Rico. I came to Minnesota to study at McAllister, came into the theater business late, but I found Pangea and I found myself where I was held and respected and valued for my full self, my being a mother, being a wife, being a daughter, and being an artist. And like Suzanne said, we are all artists of one way or another at Pangea, whether we're actors, directors, singers, poets. And that's really a fantastic way of holding people, I think, because it sees your full self, not just the part that we need for you to act on the stage, you know? So, you know, by creating, we create things in a circle. We start in a circle. All our meetings, we start in a circle. We start with 2 minutes, which is a practice that has organically grown over the years that we have been working together over 27 years. For me, it's my favorite. It was introduced to me when I started working at Pangea as an actor. And in our studio, we have a red door that closes to the outside. So you close the red door and we're in the studio. And we sit in a circle. There's a lamp in the middle, a fire in the middle. And you know, this is a ritual that we do that has no religious connotation. It has nothing except that we just come together to breathe together. And the way that I've always seen it is to prepare ourselves to do our best work. And whether it's two people or 200 people, when we have our gala, we do 2 minutes to start everything, you know, and it's wonderful. Some people, for myself, I sometimes pray to just kind of, and you know, we close that door and I leave everything out there, my husband, my work, everything else. And I prepare to do my best work, whether it's in a rehearsal, whether it's to have a meeting with somebody or to start our gala to celebrate our year. It's a great way to come together. We sit in circle also to denote shared leadership and ensemble, which is crucial to our work too. We each have things that we hold. I'm a general manager and I hold just these specific things. Suzanne has her position. DePunker has his position, but we work together to create the work and to move forward. We try to break those hierarchies of, oh, the artistic director is here and everybody, the interns. No, when we have interns join our circle, they join our circle immediately and they are given work to do and we want to hear their opinions. So even though we all hold certain things that we do, we work together and we share that leadership. Sometimes the way that I see it is sometimes some of us vibrate harder and then we follow that vibrator and the vibration or whatever. And then other times, then you step back and you follow somebody else. So it's about moving forward, moving back. That's critical to our work. It really is. And, you know, when I first started working at Pangea, that mentality about expertise and having to do it in this particular way, because that's the most expedient way. Or, you know, if we, DePunker says, our artistic director says, if we wanted to do it that way, we would hire the experts and just let them do it. And then it's not really everybody working together. So the way that we do it is, it's a specific way of working together to get the job done. And I feel that that's very, very different than anywhere else. Very, very different. And it shows within the work that we do within the office and our staff, but also it shows in the work that we present. In terms of solidarity, it's really important for us to stand for each other. It would be great in the world if I went into a room and they were talking about Native American peoples, and if they were saying something that was not correct, that I'm going to say, no, that is not correct. I'm going to stand for my Native American brothers and sisters. And I would hope that if somebody goes into a room and they're talking about Latinos or Puerto Ricans and specifically, that my Asian brothers will say, no, that's not it either. Or that my white brothers would say the same thing, no. So we're all working together, not just siloed into what our denominations are, you know? Not just, okay, I'm doing the work for Latino people. No, I'm doing the work for everyone so that we could all move forward. Let's see here, what else? Equity. Equity is important. Just getting the work done in a way that serves the person. You know, we pay equitable wages for our artists who are doing our work, our productions, or whatever else. We pay fair wages to our employees too, so that we can do the work. I think it's amazing that Pangea hires artists in the staff because it gives me a living wage so that I can do my work and still do my art. And not only that, but then they give me also opportunity to perform and to do my work. I'm an actor, I direct, I write a little bit, and I've been commissioned to do my own one-woman show. So there's just a lot that Pangea provides, not just as an organization within itself, with the administration or whatever else, but also outside of that in the productions that we do and the work and the programming that we do. Suzanne, do we want to talk about programming now?
Yes. No, that was just so beautiful. I mean, I want to work at Pangea, and I do. So I love that
Yeah,
so
that was
much.
amazing. And I love that all of that seems intrinsic to the whole theater, that all of those things go into all of your work from the very beginning. And I'm guessing that you haven't had a big equity and diversity push in the last few years because it sounds like you started from there. You know, like you've
Right.
always been
That's kind of
about
like
that.
that's what we do. So it's not like we had to invent that or bring somebody in. That's who we are and that's what we do. You know, it's kind of like with land acknowledgments that have become the thing to do, right? We were doing, Pangea was doing land acknowledgments 15, 20 years ago, you know, because that's also part of the solidarity and equity that we do. We start our work with the native peoples, with indigenous communities, and then we move outward globally. But we really want to center that at the start of everything, because that's really important. So yes, so DEI stuff that have become a big deal after, you know, the murder of George Floyd and the uprisings and that reckoning, we were already there. And I think, I know that that's the reason we were able to, when everything happened and all the theaters started shutting down and Pangea kept us all on staff, gave us money to do some artist work, we were able to pivot and do things and not shut down. You know, we were able to do things outside. We were able to still work with our community. We were still able to do the work because we were already there.
Absolutely. I just really quick, I'm so passionate about this too, because you're absolutely right. It is different when a foundation, when you're pouring that concrete and making that foundation and you putting certain ingredients into that, than when the foundation is created othering, when the foundation is created without Black and Brown and Indigenous people in the center, when the foundation is created where you're not centering the most vulnerable in the room because of the, you know, toxic, oppressive society we're in. And then you try to put that on top, right? Then you try to add that to the fifth, sixth, 12th floor. You know, the foundation is cracked, and our foundation has always been centered. Like, we started building with that in mind and with that circle. DePunker and Nina talk about when the theater first started in the tiny studio apartment they had a table that became the sacred table, because they rented spaces, went to other spaces that were very oppressive or not understanding the kind of work they're trying to do. So this was their home. This table was their home, and you could add your sacred items to it. And then that became, you know, a bigger apartment became our studio, and now is going to become something larger in the future. And that we have created a place where everyone is home. And that is just, that is always been and will always be a foundation. So not saying that we don't still have to constantly work at it, which is what in our staff meetings and when we gather our staff and board retreats are really important to our work, because these systems work within us as well. They're constantly trying, right? Patriarchy is constantly trying. Racism is constantly trying. These things are in our system. So how are we constantly trying to bring ourselves back to mission and bring ourselves back to the solidarity that we have together? And one huge thing, like what Adeline was talking about, when the murder of George Floyd happened in the uprising, I did not once have to explain what was happening in my body. I got to express what was happening in my body. And those are very different things. When you have a home where you can express versus starting out with the basic ABCs of explaining trauma and explaining generational trauma in a Black body. And that just, again, that is, makes it a fundamentally different theater.
Definitely. Definitely.
I know that besides being a theater, you do a lot of other things that are not specifically or traditionally theater. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can start and then I'm going to volley over to Adeline. As Adeline said, we are a professional theater. And we hold that idea of theater in a very, to me, I find it a very pure centered, holistic way of holding theater. Theater is the collection of stories. It is fire. It is people around to tell and hand down lessons and love from the community. And that can take place anywhere. And so sometimes some of our pop-up programs we do get categorized as workshops, which yes, we do a lot of workshops or events or programs, but it is all theater. Like, we do hold that this is all us creating and sharing stories, and that we come from, again, DePunker's background is also in street theater and doing theater for disruption and doing theater in the face of oppression. So one of the programs that we have is, we call LSA, which is Lake Street Arts, where we do specific programming and events along the Lake Street corridor, because this is the neighborhood in the area where we live. And we are going to engage and interact with those that we live and share the street with. A couple of projects that have come out of that is we did one called Poetry in the Windows, where we commissioned artists, poets, from ages 16 to in their 80s, to write a poem about what Lake Street means to them, or expressing what they're feeling that needs to break the silence of the universe at this time. What do you need to say? They had complete agency. We do not, as a production manager, that's a huge value of mine, that we do not micromanage or hold those artists. We will say, this is the project. How do I support your dream? Versus your dream has to fit into our margins and our grants. What is your dream? And then we will fund that and figure out how. So these artists wrote these beautiful poems that then we blew up into giant laminated posters and put those in businesses along Lake Street. And the deep value of that is, how do we revitalize businesses, shopping, getting money into those stores, also getting visibility for our artists while letting people know that these beautiful shops, these beautiful, lots of shops who are immigrant run exist. So, oh, I know this artist. I went to school with her. I am going to go into this coffee shop I've never been before. I'm going to patron that coffee shop. I am going to learn about the beauty of Lake Street while supporting an artist. So those, that intersections is so important to our programs. We also just had with Mutluck Studios, which is this beautiful ceramic studio off Lake Street, with Sage, was one of the owners there, did a project called Ancestor Vessels through LSA. So, and these are free. These are funded. These are free for the community. This one was to go throw clay, create a vessel, and then she transposed an image of your ancestor, your loved ones on that vessel. And people got to take and have that with them. And people then also, when Adeline was talking about the circle, there was just this beautiful moment where everybody gathered from the community, people who would not, again, most likely be in the same room together, and shared about their great-great-grandparents immigrating here, about people who had experienced a war and were refugees coming here, and that they maybe never even knew this ancestor because of the systems we live in. And now they have something tangible with them forever. So like that, those are just a few of the programs that we've had through that. Also with Adeline talking about solidarity, we work with a lot of other organizations in the area because relationships and relationality is huge with us. Building that relationship, we like to joke that once you're in the circle, you're in the circle. And that we will hold you and that you are a part of it. And when you need something or how to make that a reciprocal organic relationship, except that's not transactional, which is a huge part of our programs.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit more about that too, because the Lake Street Arts program and I want to say umbrella encompasses so much. It's not just, you know, it is working with the communities, but the individual communities that along Lake Street, like Suzanne said, that's where we live. That's where we work. So we work with Native communities, Latino communities, Asian communities, African-American communities, everybody that's on Lake Street. Right now, there's a huge Latino population on Lake Street, lots of shops, of immigrant-owned shops. And we did a project with, it was called the Mamitas Project. And it was kind of a combination between Lake Street here in Minneapolis and also in St. Paul. So we have this, I call her a child, but she's not a child. She's a college student. Her name is Angelica Bello. She came to us and said, listen, I have this idea for this project. And, you know, I'm first generation going to college, but I've always dreamed of having my mom know all these things that I do too. I wanted to bring my mom to school. So I kind of want to build something around empowering my mom and women like her. So basically we gathered 15 immigrant women, Latina women, and we brought them and did workshops for about 2 months, where we showed them how to navigate the, you know, bank system, how to navigate legal system, how to navigate taking care of themselves as parents and as immigrants and all the hard work, how to take care of yourself. So a lot of these workshops, and we came together, lots of food, but it was fantastic. I was working with Angelica on this, and we had some women come from Mexico specifically to teach some traditional ways of self-healing. We had people from, you know, banks come in and how to apply for a loan, how to apply for an arts grant, how to do different things that these women were interested in. So that, you know, that was one program. And then another program that we did during the pandemic, which was just fantastic because everybody wanted to be outside and come together. The Longfellow neighborhood, Minnehaha and Lake Street, that's where the third precinct was there. And then that's kind of where everything blew up. We had a lot of work that we did in that area. We worked with Gandhi Mahal closely when doing our work. And when that blew up and we saw the destruction all around, it hurt everybody. But for us, it was like, this is where we work. So we did a lot of events in that specific space where that was the liquor store across the street there from the hub and from Hook and Ladder. When it was a creation of a 3-year project where we hired a Native American artist, Angela Two-Star, and created, for lack of a better word, a unfurling of a butterfly. So at first we had, one summer we had where we commissioned her, she created a chrysalis of what we're coming from a butterfly. But that making of the chrysalis, we had these little strips of this plastic that she was gonna use to build it. And we had several events on Saturdays there where people would come, we would encourage people to come, and there was the market was there. What are your hopes and dreams for this community? What do you want to see moving forward in this community? And so all those strips created that butterfly. The next summer, there was also on our land that is right there next to the new post office, then this big, huge board where all the unfurling happened. We had the butterflies with all the strips, a sign of everything, all the hopes and dreams of everything. And we celebrated that. And she was commissioned for that. And it really brought the community together. And now we're hoping that in that particular area, our new space will happen very soon, maybe in the next couple of years, that we'll have our own space so that we can create our own programming at our own time and not have to depend on somebody else renting us a space. So that's a little bit about the programming we do. And of course, our productions, like the production that we're presenting soon, Hecuba. And those are also, you know, curated and chosen specifically for the time.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great. I had no idea that Pangea was involved in so many projects. It's fascinating. Yes. But you mentioned Hecuba, so let's start talking about that. So it's a play by Marina Carr. And for our listeners who might have seen By the Bog of Cats, which Theatre Pro Rata did last year, it's the same playwright. And she's an Irish playwright. By the Bog of Cats was loosely based on Medea, but it was a very Irish story. Can you tell us about Hecuba? Is it also an Irish story? Is it a global story? Tell us about this play.
I would say, I'm so excited to talk about Hecuba. I would say
before you talk, Suzanne, we have to say that you are playing Hecuba also. She is our queen. So you're speaking to the queen.
That is true. That is facts. Yes. So, okay. Yeah. Let me go back a little bit. I've been the production manager for 10 years at Pangea. We're going on 9. It'll be 10 next year. This last summer, I was in an ensemble creation called Life Born of Fire, where we talked about our own like stories. I talked about being a caregiver. But this will be of this like scale of production. This will be my first production that I am performing in at Pangea. So I am very excited about that. Went in and auditioned with everyone else with my little form, and I was so nervous. So I am just thrilled and honored to be a ensemble member in this piece. And again, like we talked about before, with the foundation, I'm stepping into a rehearsal room where I know that the foundation is held and safe and beautiful for creating, especially a piece of work like this, Hecuba by Marina Carr, because it does hold and address so much trauma and so much pain with the process. And I feel that Pangea World Theater is the perfect theater to take on this piece, because again, we never shy away from the trauma held in Black and Brown bodies, the trauma held by the world affected by war. We step in and hold with that as we're stepping in and holding this piece. And as I've been navigating and researching about the role, I get very into research and fell in love with Marina Carr and wanted to know everything about her. Her approach to Hecuba, I would say, is not based in, and there could absolutely be echoes of it being in an Irish play, but I feel it's way more of a global perspective of war and her navigation of Hecuba and how Hecuba was depicted with Euripides in Trojan Women and in Hecuba. And that she, in multiple interviews, just says that she takes up issue. She straight takes up issue with how Euripides depicted Hecuba, and she wanted to respond. So we are, when you come to see this piece by Marina Carr, you are seeing her response to Euripides' Hecuba. You are not going to see Euripides' Hecuba. This is a very different incarnation and different beast.
Now, for those of us not well-versed in Greek drama, can you tell us a little bit about who Hecuba is in the history of that? And what else should people know before seeing the show? I mean, do they need to study before seeing the show that's based on Greek drama?
Oh, absolutely not. No, no, no. You come, you sit, you just absorb and take in. That is our job, to make sure that you are there, you are present, and you are in a place that is accessible and attainable for our audience and for the people that we love. This is not something where you need a glossary and to come and be supported. If you know the background in theater, that's wonderful. Just like whenever I've done any classical text, if I do Shakespeare, I want that to be as accessible as possible. You need to know the intentions of these active bodies on stage and the story that they're telling. It should not be something that only someone with a high grad degree in Elizabethan theater can be able to understand. Then we are not doing our jobs as actors, directors, and performers. Just to hold, we have these names sometimes floating around in our universe. When we hear about Hecuba or Achilles or Agamemnon or Hector, Cassandra, the daughter who was cursed to see the future and no one will believe her, right? So these archetypes, these people, these myths have kind of been floating around, and Marina Carr took these people and put this play at the aftermath, immediately following the fall of Troy. So a little bit, again, context, we have Troy. Hecuba is the fabled queen of Troy. And then we have, you know, the horse comes in and the people come and then they invade and they destroy and take down Troy. So yes, there are these echoes of that Greek mythology, but we are telling a snapshot that really takes place over a day, maybe a day and a half, of the aftermath of war. We are talking about something that, especially as Minnesota, fighting for sanctuary state status, fighting for that we are a state that has welcomed and held refugees, has welcomed and held immigrants, especially in the universe that I live in at Pangea. I know overall in the state, that has not always been, but that is my dream, that that is the world that we live in. And so when we are telling a story of war that then will create refugees, will create displaced people, and then how are they held? What happens in that moment? What happens in just taking a breath and pausing in the aftermath of war? So that is the center of what this piece is about. And like I said, if you know the background of the Greek stories, you might have to breathe this out. I breathe that out a little bit. I think this story is really for those who are coming in that maybe don't know a lot about it, because Hecuba is going to do things that Euripides' Hecuba did not do. Agamemnon is going to say things that, you know, Euripides did not, because we are in Marina Carr's world and she is driving the truck and she is creating something that she believes and stands in. There's a quick quote that I absolutely love. From Marina Carr, she said, like, she loves Euripides, right? She's like, she actually calls, there's a lot of playwrights who are like the Greek geeks she talks about, who like love the lofty, beautiful things that she quotes Yeats, that, you know, the Greeks talk about or in this mythology. But she also says, as we know, that history is created by the victors, but so is myth. Myth is also created by the victors. So when we have these myths that have been passed down that depict, especially in war, somebody as virtuous or as the winner or the hero, and then we have the group that was lost or displaced, and we convey them as the barbarians or them as the vicious, maybe we should take pause within ourselves and just breathe out. Maybe the myths are also created by the victors. And so she says, I love Euripides. He's a wonderful writer. Like, she's like, great, party on, Euripides. But he was writing his version of the myth. What do we do with just one version? Yet somehow all these archetypes of females are in Western consciousness. They are types of women to be feared or lusted after. They are kind of monsters, or held in purity to the outer reach of femininity. This terrible fear of women and this version of women is held in our society and controls them and marginalizes them today. I mean, party on, Marina Carr, absolutely. So we take these ideas of how, especially with women, are held through these myths. And that also permeates the toxicity that we hold for women today. So her Hecuba is flawed and fierce, but fragile and broken, instead of a two-dimensional symbol of what femininity should be.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on that too, why this play now? Why this particular play by Marina Carr now? So without being direct, what is happening in the world right now that is taking all our attention? Who are the victors that are talking a particular way and making somebody else be not the ones that are being attacked or being put down or being decimated? What is happening in our world without even mentioning the specifics, right? So it's a very nuanced choice to talk about women, as Suzanne said, and it's a very specific way that this play has been casted. There has been a reason why there is a Black woman as Hecuba. There is a reason why that is happening. There's a reason why the bodies that you see on stage, why those were chosen to play those particular roles. The relevance of the play right now, like I said before, what's happening in the world, it's completely relevant to this story. What we hope that people come and see the show and see the trauma and see war and what it does and the aftermath of that, and that it maybe inspires them to say, we don't want that. What can we do about it so that we don't, that doesn't happen again or continues to happen in our world? How can we do it? How can we do that? So in a way, inspiring. I know that it's a very traumatic play. There's a lot of nuanced details to it and themes that are within the thing. But we really want people to come see the show and be transformed, maybe activated, maybe wanting to do something about what is happening in the world today. And we don't want to pigeonhole it into one particular thing, but people will come with preconceived notions to see the show. That's what happens in theater. But in theater, we believe that the art transforms, the art informs, The art hits the heart and makes you feel and makes you act. And that's why I do theater. That's the best way to do, to get stories across, to get words across, to get feelings across. So yeah, the work that Pangea does is always relevant. We do, of course, art for the sake of art. Art is beautiful, theater is beautiful. But the choices that we make and the presentations that we do, they're intentional. They're intentional.
Absolutely. Oh, Adeline, that's gorgeous. That, because yes, I wanted to echo that Pangea, all the work, like Adeline said, we do is relevant and is now. And is also beautiful, and we want to entertain and we want to provide that beauty in the world. But this piece is chosen for a very specific reason, chosen multiple years ago. And then the echo, just like last year, we did Returning to Haifa, and then how the world and things shifted through that. And now we're doing Hecuba here because the time is asking for it. We move through and with our community and what is happening, and we only know how to respond with the work. We respond with the work, we respond with the art. And so this piece of, like I said, holding a day and a half in the aftermath of these atrocities, how do these characters and these people respond? Who is changed by this? What vulnerability are we seeing from somebody who is coming in and committing these atrocities? And then having that self-reflection, having thoughts, having being a full three-dimensional human being, dealing with the horrors that he has inflicted through the character of Agamemnon. And through the survival and acts of forgiveness that are in this play, and the fierceness that is held by Hecuba, and how does that relate to all of our lives? As I was talking about, just being a caregiver and navigating the health system and navigating these things, I feel like I have to go to battle in so many different ways, and felt vulnerable and less, and that our community is dealing with this in so many different ways. And we know how to respond to that with the work.
So the play opens in April. We're speaking to you in early March. So where are you in the process? Have you started rehearsals? Is the design set? How's it going so far?
We're in the
thick of it. Question.
So excited. We're in the thick of it.
So, yes, we started actually on February 12th. We started rehearsal. So we're going into like our third week of rehearsal, which is also really important to Pangea's practices. We usually take about 6 weeks, give or take, of what a rehearsal process is. You know, some theaters, it's like 3 weeks, or it's however, because we work in ensemble practice, we have to do something we call creating the room, which is we build our agreements. What is the, we put the big paper on the board, on the wall. How do we build and create and even agree to disagree or hold in respect and solidarity the room that we need to work this vulnerably in? And so we create that. We do physical warm-ups with the punker to the point of exhaustion, where the only thing you can do is lean and love and hold on to your ensemble who's with you. And so that's a process. It is a process. We always start the first couple of rehearsals in reading the script in the round. So we do not read in characters. We read those lines and we go all the way through to create that democratic space of there are no leads. There are no principal actors. We are all here. We're all supporting. Everything that is said in this script is everyone's business and responsibility. Maybe not for memorization, but to know the ins and outs and the needs of those characters. So that is usually like the first week. And now we're getting into definitely the sketching and the blocking of the scenes. And we have rehearsal in about an hour and a half after this. And we're working with a movement coach. De Punker works a lot in symbolism and abstract and the movements of an activated body on stage. So when I talk about that this play deals with war, there are graphic depictions that Marina Carr has written in the text. There are very heavy moments in this play. But how De Punker is having us portray that is very much in the poetic abstract. So there will be no severed limbs. There will be the depiction, if it's cloth, if it's the way we move our bodies, if it's the way that we are expressing this story to uplift in a creative, dynamic manner versus re-traumatizing our audience. That is not our goal, but our goal is to express through artistic expression, through non-realism, through the work of the ensemble. We are also all on stage the entire time. So let's buckle up. So everyone is supporting and holding the process that we are all going through, because Pangea also agrees that, or also believes that we have the stage and we have the audience, and that is our complete circle. We are not experiencing these things also in these silos. So so that's the practice. We had a dramaturg come in and talk to us about pronunciation and also talk to us and center us in, like I said, we are in Marina Carr's world. And so hold that and love that as we process through. So Pangea takes a lot of time at the beginning of the rehearsal to bring in movement experts, to bring in people for voice. We do a lot of work on carriage, body, posture, for us all to gel together. And then we're going to go into the script. That's why that length of time is really important to us.
Yeah, we work with many different people. And it's quite an ensemble. You have the youngest is 13, and I'm not sure who the oldest person is in the room. A variety of people, genders, and also where they're coming from too. So it's really great to go and step into the room and see how many people and how many different people are in the room. And that's part of our process. That's really important to have that. Also, as we work in that ensemble, those beginning first few weeks, the reason I can talk a little bit about this is because I've been through the process with the Bunker many times, and the process has always been the same. It's about building that ensemble, so that ensemble of actors that are on stage, they work together cohesively, and he likes to, again, work in metaphor.
And how big is the ensemble?
How many actors do we have? We have
11, I believe.
11, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we have a live musician too.
Great.
That's so beautiful. We do. So we have, yes, a gorgeous, I just want to say, gorgeous, incredible ensemble of just movers, like I said, active bodies that are going to be just gorgeous on stage through these symbolism, but also just empathetic thinkers. We're able to have like actual civil discourse and conversation and ideas about where we're coming from. Part of 2 minutes, we also do a prompt where we talk about just different parts of creation. And so this ensemble is fantastic. And like Adeline said, we have from someone very young who comes in with their parents, who is there and being held, through seasoned actors who have been doing this for 30 years, all together in a room. And then we have an incredible live musician, Bethany, who also has a theater that she runs, that's coming and going to play live violin and drums. And we just had her for one of the first rehearsals last night, where we were doing this very intense scene. And then she came in with these drums, and just the heartbeat completely transformed. Live music just changes, especially when now we have another part of Pangea is like, we have the musician in the room now. We're having lighting designers in the room now who are building that with us, who are responding off of us. That's not just 4 days and we meet the designers and we meet the tech team. They are part of the journey. There is no separation of designers and actors. They need to, we're all together creating that one piece of art.
Yeah, and we take the time for the rehearsal time, because we work with professional actors, but we also work with actors who don't have that much experience, but that have the drive and have the energy and the talent. So we take the time to create a democratic space where everybody is the same, not just the actor who is, or the actor that doesn't know as much or doesn't have as much experience. It's everybody together. That's really important to us.
Yes. And you're at the Southern... You're at the Southern Theater, right? Which is such a gorgeous and unique space.
It's a beautiful space. It's Dr. Mukherjee's favorite space.
Yeah. Did you pick it specifically for this piece, or did you just end up with it? And how does the space inform the work?
I want to say it's both.
So how, like Adeline said, De Punker loves the Southern. Also, we work in a larger ensemble, so the scale of this space is very important. And so with the seating capacity and the scale of the Southern, huge for us. One of the reasons also we love the Southern is also the pieces that we pick and the content that we pick to work on. When you have a building that is that old, when you have those exposed bricks, when you have the, you know, you have the arch, you have history embedded in it. And you have something that looks like it has held dreams and pain and trauma and birth. And so then we get to place our play already in its set. It's already there. The aesthetics are there. The breath is there of the piece. And DePunker also working with his set designers and Lee Carpenter to build to heighten. We would never put backdrop or flats or cover that space. The space is a character that is in, that is echoing, especially when we open up and we are in the throne room of Hecuba, surrounded by the aftermath of the war. And opening that up under that arch, surrounded by that brick, in that space that has held century of information. That will also inform the text and the work. So I'd say that the space is DePunker's favorite, and we would be at a loss if we did not do this piece at this time in that space.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I love the Southern too, and it sounds like this is a perfect show for that. Just to go back a little bit, so the music is original being created for the show?
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, yes. Bethany is amazing. So original and organic is that she's in the rehearsal, hearing our heartbeats, our breath, how we are relating to the text, and she is creating on the fly. Right now she's playing. She's in a rehearsal room and she's playing and creating off of the energy that we do. At one point in the play, Hecuba has to sing a lullaby. And so last night, Bethany and I were talking about that. And during rehearsal, I've just been humming. I've been doing this little up and down hum. It like starts high and goes to like a dissonant. And the beautiful actress, Anne, who plays my daughter, Plexina, has been following me with that. Bethany heard it, added her violin, her drums to that, added her beautiful voice and her vibe to that. And that is going to be the lullaby. Like something that is created completely organic in that moment off of the actors and off of her brilliance in creating music. So original to the fact that, I mean, it's not even done because we haven't blocked the whole show. So she's creating as she is talking, communicating with us, such an incredible ensemble member, and creating as she's playing and succeeding and failing in the room, which is just such a beauty to watch.
Yeah, so this play will be unique in a lot of many different ways. So it will be a treat for people to come and see it, to hear original music, really creative work at play that is relevant to what is happening in the world. I think it's a perfect piece right now. Yeah, we open April 5th. We run through April 21st, and we have days of ASL. That'll be April 14th, and we'll be having some talkbacks after some of the shows, too. We'll be having student matinees, where we're bringing in students, high school students, to see the show also. So we're really trying to, get the word out to have people come and see us, because it'll be a treat for people to see this show. It will definitely be a treat.
Absolutely. I want to echo. Thank you so much, Adeline. I want to echo quickly on our ASL date, like Adeline had mentioned, which is Sunday, April 14th. And our talk back dates, too, we're holding those on Sundays, because then it's in the afternoon and people can go. But we are working on adding with our ASL dates and really wanting to make sure that gets out to the community. So we are reaching out to those on forums, on Facebook. We're working with fabulous people to help spread that news. But it is really important to us that we are providing this accessibility for those and that it actually the information gets to those that need it. So I wanted to add that as that day, Sunday, April 14th, will be where we're having ASL, because this will be a standard moving forward with Pangea to offer these services. But again, like we said, we work with community, and community and relationality is so important to us. So it's not just checking a box. Oh, we have a day of ASL. Great. No, I don't believe that we are successful in that until we know that people trust that this is provided by Pangea and they show up and know that this is something that they can experience when they come to our theaters. So I just wanted to highlight that and let people know that is the day to please come to the theater.
Right. We'll include that information in our show notes, along with a link to your website and to ticketing.
Can I just talk a little bit about how people can join us, not only by seeing the show, but they can also go to our website. They can volunteer for any of our programming. We always have volunteers that help us either usher or set up the space or do anything like that. We also have internships where students or anyone really from any background, any age or study that can join us and do an internship at Pangea. So there's many ways to get involved besides coming to see our show. There's many ways to join us in the work.
And like we said, once you're in our circle, you're in our circle.
You're in our circle.
Love that. And for ushering, you get to see the show. Like, that's the thing. The ticket to the show is there. We like to sometimes have quite a few ushers on different days because we want to make sure that all our patrons are held in that way. So that'll also be on the website, please. Mm-hmm. We would love to have all of those spots filled so that we also know that we're sharing that show with people who, if you know, different things are in the way of you being able to come to the show, usher, and then you can come see the show for free.
Great. We will definitely include all that information in the note. Thank you so much for talking with us about Pangea and about this show. I've learned so much about the theater and I'm so excited. And honestly, I want to work there too. It yes, sounds better than any workplace I've ever had.
We have succeeded. Come to
we
us.
Have succeeded in the communication. Yes. And you yeah, can tell thank you. We both love working here.
Thank you for sharing all that. I'm embarrassed to say, I think I've only seen one Pangea production. So I'm definitely going to be seeing Hecuba, and I will definitely be following you going forward.
Yes. And, you know, throughout the rest of the year, we'll have events and workshops and opportunities to participate throughout the summer and then in the fall again. So there's always something happening. So come join us.
Will do.
We will. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Our thanks to Adlin Carreras and Suzanne Victoria Cross for joining us on Twin Cities Theater Chat. You can see Hecuba at the Southern Theater from April 5th through the 21st. And thank you for listening to Twin Cities Theater Chat. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform, rate and review us, and spread the word. Follow the Twin Cities Theater bloggers on Facebook and Instagram to read our reviews and find out what we're up to. And go see a show.